There are lots of great commentaries that you can find online, or maybe you have a book of the commentary of access to really unpack the layers and layers of fruit in this passage from St. John chapter 4. The story starts at a well. Any Jewish person hearing a story about a well would be hearkened back to the Old Testament, where the great fathers in the faith met their wives at a well. So there would have been some type of marriage or nuptial imagery coming in their minds as the story was told. And surely you have a man and a woman there. So there's some nuptial imagery there. And we know of the nuptial imagery throughout all of sacred scriptures, how from Adam and Eve in the first pages of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, there's one way we can read Revelation, salvation history, through the lens of marriage and the nuptial life. As long as this gospel passage was, if you go to the scriptures and you go back to that verse just before this, it tells us that Jesus had to pass that way. Jews normally would not pass through Samaria. We kind of heard that in that dialogue. The Samaritans and the Jews were not friends. To go from the north to the south, they would have gone the long way around to avoid going through Samaria. But the scriptures tell us that this encounter had to happen. Jesus needed this, wanted this encounter to happen. So he intentionally went through enemy territory. And this woman who had five husbands in the Old Testament, the reason why the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other is because when the northern tribes were conquered by the Assyrians and they were scattered and they began to intermarry, the Jews were the chosen people in the south. The Samaritans were in the north. Those in the south looked at the Samaritans as infidels, as half-breeds, because they were intermarrying with all of these pagans. And there have been five conquering territories. So this woman who really did have five husbands, and now she has a friend around, again, back to salvation history. So as the story is being unfolded, being told, so much is really in here. And this woman who's coming in the middle of the day, the sixth hour at noon, at 12 o'clock, to get water. And again, the scripture scholars would tell us that that was unusual. Anyone who's done work outside, I used to work in lawn care, we try to get out as early as possible to beat the heat. And here this woman is in the middle of a desert climate at noon to go and get water from a deep well and carry it back to village. And that was the only water she would have for that day. And they say that she's coming at noon because of her less than perfect past. The scorn of the other women in the community wouldn't have allowed her to go at the same time early in the morning or late in the evening when the sun was going down, where it was cooler and not quite so laborious. So she was ostracized, isolated, lonely, because of the choices that she had made in her life. It happened at noon. A few chapters later, something else will happen at noon in the life of Jesus. He'll be led out for the crucifixion at noon. He's asking this woman for something to drink. We can assume that he is thirsty. When he's on the cross, he will say that, "I thirst." He's talking to this woman about living waters. On the cross, living water will flow from his pierced side. There's so many connections looking back and then projecting forward in this beautiful passage about this woman who was on the outs. And what we would say in an irregular marriage situation. As maybe scandalous as it is today to be divorced and remarried five or six times, maybe not so scandalous today, back then it was unheard of. She was a public sinner. had no rights to anything in the public sphere. But Jesus had to be there. Jesus wanted to encounter her. In the midst of her shame, in the midst of her guilt, that's where Jesus wanted to be. How many of us hide from the world and hide from ourselves because of choices we've made in the past? How many of us hide from the Lord because we don't feel that we are worthy? This woman in the gospel today gives us hope. The hope that St. Paul tells us in that second reading that does not disappoint. And in that reading from second reading and from Romans, there's a part that's missing. We skipped a few verses. And in those verses we skipped, he talks about suffering and endurance, how it leads to character and virtue, and that virtue leads to hope. And the hope does not disappoint. And so through our sufferings in our lives, the struggles that we have to endure through patient and long suffering, that allow us to cling to nothing but Jesus. When the promises of the world fail us, we have nothing but Jesus. And when we finally get to that point, we have the only thing that we ever really needed in the first place. And this is the transition, the transformation that this woman went through in the gospel. We can make any kind of assumptions we want to about why she had five husbands, but we can say that she was thirsty, to use the word that's used today. She was desperate for something, looking for something, clinging on to something, that something never came. So she tried again and again and again. Maybe we're not in our fifth or sixth marriage, but in some way, can we not relate? How easy it is to grasp at the things that the world promises us will satisfy us, give us prominence and power and status in this world, and they fail time and time again, but we keep grabbing, we keep grabbing, we keep grabbing. That's what was happening in the first reading. These people who had seen the most amazing works you could ever imagine done by the hand of God. He stopped a river, made it a solid wall, and they were able to walk through. They saw countless miracles in the middle of the desert, and they were thirsty one day, and they started to cry and complain. Why'd you take us out here to die? We want to go back to slavery rather than suffer a little bit today. When we, in some way, encounter the Lord and begin to shift our life towards Him, and then we have a speed bump, a hiccup, and things don't go quite the way we planned, don't we sometimes go back to the former way of life? Where it was easy and comfortable, even though we know it wasn't the best? In chapter 2 of Jeremiah's prophecy, speaking for the Lord, he says there's two evils the people have done. The Lord says that we have forsaken Him, the font of living water, and in turn we've gone to dig out dirty, broken wells that don't even hold any water. That's what the Israelites were complaining about in the first reading. This is what the woman had done in the gospel. And in some way, it's the story of our life. But there's hope. There's no reason to despair, because what St. Paul said in that second reading, this is the truth, that while we were dead in our sin, God poured out the love of the Holy Spirit into us, and that we live in this truth by faith, not by any works that we've done. Out of pure love for those of us who were dead in sin, God sent forth His Son to die for us, and by doing so, He poured out Himself into us. The same way water is poured, God poured Himself into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. That's what happens at baptism. And that's what that reading is meant to invoke within each of us. A memory of our baptism. Whether we were an infant when it happened, we don't have a real memory, but we know the teaching. And it's meant for those who are in the RCIA process, those who are preparing to be baptized, to give them a clear image of where they are in this journey. So many times thirsting for something, going back to that same well, hoping that this next time it will work. So if you're stuck in that place of just repetition, going through the motions, hoping maybe next time it will be different, allow yourself to encounter Jesus Christ today. He had to pass through Samaria, and he wants to pass through your heart. He wants to encounter you in the midst of your shame, in the guilt, in your thirst, in your need. He knows the deepest yearnings, longings, needs of your heart. And he is thirsting for you to invite him in. This woman's life was changed. And not only her life, but the entire village. As this person went from a sir to a prophet to a Messiah to the Christ to the Son of the living God. This is the progression of Christ in our life. Some distant character to everything. Christ promised her, and he promises each one of us, that never-ending font of living water flowing forth from his side, which we can access through the Holy Eucharist. He is the answer. He is the solution. He is everything that you need. He's thirsting for you. Let him quench your thirst.